listening to Fox Sports Radio.
Game 6 of the NBA Finals is where we start as they tip off at 9 Eastern time on ABC. From Oakland, it is the Raptors at the Warriors. Toronto obviously up 3-2 in the series. Now, we're going to talk about how we got here and where we're headed, but right now let's talk about where we're at and let's talk about series price.
You sounded like Maxwell Smart back in the day on Get Smart. He would wake up and go, where am I? Who are you people? Where are we? Where we been? It's very complex. But I tell you this, right now, and it's, I think, instinctual, Toronto is favored. Why? Because they got to win one of the next two. Golden State has to win two of the next two. And right now, if you wanted to bet Toronto to win the title, minus 300, so $3 wins you a dollar. Golden State plus 250. 100 wins you 250 in that case. So we're saying if we made an estimate, and again, this is a broad estimate, we're saying what, about 75%, right?
Yeah, a little less than 75%.
All right, that Toronto wins this thing.
Yep.
Now, if we look at this game, game number 6, what are we seeing, Brad?
Game number 6, we have right now Golden State a 2.5-point favorite over Toronto at home.
Okay, now we've been saying it all year. And again, the first season straight out of Vegas, the first annual year, is going to be a teaching exercise where next year you're going to say, oh, yeah, NBA playoffs, home team 4. What the heck, RJ? Come on, let's get to something. All right? And I'm going to say, remember when you were that way? You know, you were more like Jonas. So, yes, home court's 4 in the NBA. I think playoffs for sure, 3.5 maybe in the regular season. And obviously Denver has altitude, Utah, et cetera, different, you know, superior home courts and lesser home courts. The line being 2.5 is saying literally Toronto is better in this current spot. And I'm not even sure what the spot is, right? Other than Durant being out, which he's been out all but 12 minutes of this series.
Yep.
I mean, Looney's out, right?
Yeah.
All right. So, does that even move the needle? Ugh. Maybe.
For Fez, maybe.
Well, yeah.
Everyone.
We don't want to get into that. It's tough. It's tough enough when he's here to explain it. If he's not here, forget about it. So, right now, Toronto's better is the market. And that's very different than to start. So, why don't we look at some game factors, series factors, meaning they apply to Toronto, they apply to Golden State. Then we're going to make the case for Golden State. And then we're going to make the case for Toronto. And then we're going to hear from Katie's mom. And then we're going to have best bets. And Katie's mom, oofa. So it's going to be interesting. I think it'd be a struggle, though, let's say if you're negotiating with her, which, in a way is a compliment, I guess. Let's look at it, though, Brad. If we look at what the line was in game 1 and 2, right, obviously, the start of the series. Now, at the end of the series, what the line is, and you adjust for home court, there's been a big change relatively in how much esteem Toronto is being held in.
So, game 1, game 2, Toronto is at home, and Toronto is about a 1.5-point favorite at home. So, if you factor in that 4 points of home court advantage, at that time, game 1, game 2, market was saying Golden State about 2.5 points better.
Okay, and now in game 6, market saying Toronto is 1.5 points better.
Yeah, so
you do the math, that's 4 points.
Yeah.
I'll tell you this right now. Other than injury, in the NBA, because the thing is, the NBA plays 82 games plus the playoffs to get here. What's an extreme on the other end of the spectrum when it comes to a lot of games? In this case, not many competitive games. College football. There's times we'll watch a college bowl game, Brad, and correct me if I'm wrong, you'll say, net, I'm going to adjust this 6-7 points. I remember clearly, as an Ohio State grad, the Buckeyes winning the title against Oregon. And I asked the radio guys, local show back then, and said, what would the line be if they played next week? And if I remember, the Buckeyes were like 7-point dogs in the game.
Yeah.
And the answer then was about pick 'em. So I guess the question is to you quickly to affirm that in extreme cases at the end of the year, there might be a 7-point net adjustment between teams after one game.
Yep.
But that's because what? An Oregon that year probably had 5 competitive games.
Yeah.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5. we're talking about 90-plus competitive games in the NBA. To change 4 points net, and this has nothing to do with Durant. Durant wasn't playing the beginning of the series. He's not playing now. That, to me, gets me moving towards Golden State. It feels like there's too much adjustment, too much of a move towards Toronto. What have they really proven in this series that they didn't prove before? They were minus, was it 900 against Milwaukee, if I remember right?
Well, Milwaukee was minus 900.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Against Milwaukee, they were Toronto was against a minus 900. Yeah. So it was like 90% that they didn't win that series. And they did. So does that make them really good or does that make them lucky? Because when you're down to 10% chance, that's not a sign of strength typically. And if they had lost that series, what would we be saying right now about Toronto? You know, they might be the best team in the NBA. No.
No.
But literally two or three in game five probably changes that whole series.
Well, they were a foul shot away from going down 3-0 in that series.
Exactly. So, guys, if you've been listening since September, you should know what I'm going to say right now. It's never as bad as it seems for a team. It's never as good as it seems. Toronto is flying about as high as you can right now. You'd think there'd be a downgrade after losing at home. Now, you pointed out, Brad, that Golden State had a huge advantage with three-pointers.
They did.
I mean, like, historic.
Yep.
So quantify that.
Yeah, second largest disparity. So Golden State made 23-pointers. Toronto only made 8. That 12-point difference, second largest in the history of the NBA Finals.
Now, that's strong. That's Brad Powers. I'm RJ Bell, straight out of Vegas. First, we're breaking down the game and the series. So the macro factors, overarching, McDonald's style, think of it. Then we're going to talk about the case for Golden State. We're going to talk about the case for Toronto. Then Durant's mom, and then best bets. And I've got a best bet you're going to love. It's my favorite best bet, and this will be at the end of the hour, since the Ramadan feast, as Fezzik calls it. And which, again, I will never have a bet that good. It was so good, yeah. We couldn't lose. It was a situation where it was like you can't even fathom how it would have lost. Cantor under points.
Yeah, it was so good that they didn't offer it like the next game.
Yeah. We changed Vegas.
Yeah.
Right? And my mom said this mouth of mine is going to do something someday. Well, here we are. We're affecting Vegas. So we talked about Toronto probably getting a little too much love right now. But, man, they've played well in this series. Let's break it down by the quarter. So we could say it's like four little mini games. Now, obviously, it's not. If you're down one at the end of the quarter, you're not fouling if the other team has the ball. But it really is as good a demarcation. You know, if we're going to bunch it up in chunks smaller than games, quarters is the most logical. Toronto's dominated.
They have. So five games, four quarters each game, that's 20 quarters. We've had two ties in there. So out of the remaining 18 quarters, believe it or not, RJ, Toronto's won 14 of those 18 quarters, Golden State 4. 14-4, Toronto's dominated.
So Jonas, as a fan, and you hear that, does it sound like, man, Golden State got lucky to even be in a game six? Or does it sound like, you know, this is what Golden State is. They're a team that will lose a bunch of quarters by 3 or 4 points, and then they're going to win some quarters by 20, net-net. They've won they've been the best team in the NBA the last 5 years. Which side do you fall on the quarter count?
I fall on the side of Toronto. Just watching the series as a whole, Toronto's been the better team. I don't know if luck is the right word. Maybe Golden State's more fortunate would be a better way to put it for me.
A little John Fogerty in the background right there. All right. So last thing we'll do, and this will be a good segue into Golden State. So when we come back, we're going to do Golden State. But one little early Golden State one, and then we'll tease across, as they say, in the business. I don't know if you heard your nemesis, Jonas Collin, was he in your studio?
No, there's one upstairs here in Sherman Oaks.
Okay.
Yeah.
So I heard you weren't allowed on the same floor.
I did not hear that, but I'll go with it.
But just, did you see him?
I did not see him.
Coincidentally, you didn't see him, huh?
Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah.
I mean, listen, could be a coincidence. I mean, the most powerful man at the network is there, and somehow Jonas, who's hanging around there, getting coffee for people, doing stuff all day, he doesn't see the most powerful guy. Coincidence.
Yeah.
All right, fair. Klay Thompson We got some sound from him later. Maybe the I don't like assessing integrity from 1,000 miles away. Clay seems rock solid, though, to me. And we're going to hear him talk about Durant. And to me, I think the more we look at what Durant's doing, the more blame there is to have point to him. Not to get for him getting hurt, but the idea of the distraction there is right now. But Clay's a rock. And if you look at, he's a warrior, actually. If you look at the last 5 years with Clay, without Clay, it's an eye popper.
Yeah, so with Clay Thompson the last 5 years since the start of this Golden State run, Golden State wins about 79% of their games. Covers a little bit more than half the time.
And if you think about it, Golden State won some titles. They have a premium on them. So if they're covering more than half the time, they're excelling.
Exactly.
The straight up wins with Clay.
79% of the time, Golden State wins.
The straight up wins without Clay.
Yep. Oh, without Clay, they win less than half the time. 44% of the time is when the Warriors win without Clay. Less than half the time they win covering, RJ, they cover less than a quarter of a time without him.
Okay, so think about this. With Clay, they're winning a huge chunk of games. Without Clay, they're winning less than half. So this is one of the best teams ever assembled over a five-year period, if not the best. And one guy's out who's considered during the last 3 years of this era the third best player. I mean, no one thinks Clay's better than Durant, right? No one thinks better than Curry. So it's not even a debate. Third best player, no one's even debating it. And when he doesn't play, the team wins less than half the time. So it's a below average team without Clay.
Be sure to catch live editions of Straight Outta Vegas weekdays at 6 p.m. Eastern, 3 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
Guys, so we've been talking about the NBA Finals Game 6 coming up tonight from Oracle. We've talked about the big picture stuff for the Golden State Warriors, including Klay Thompson's value to that team. Let's continue to make the Warriors' case as they head into an elimination game, possibly.
Yeah, Klay's value, unbelievable. I'm just becoming more of a fan of his. Just real quick, the Cliff Noted version is when Klay plays in these 5 years, it doesn't matter, Durant's playing, anybody, doesn't matter. Kerr might be home, Luke Walton, doesn't matter. Right? They won almost 80% of the game.
Yep.
When Klay doesn't play, they win less than half. They're a below average team with the third best player out. Okay. And I think he is the third best player. It's just how good he is. We looked a little deeper during the commercial. The difference in those games, so when they have Klay, when they don't, is a net 12 points of difference. Now, Michael Jordan was worth 6 points per game. Now, it's easy to look at these stats and say, oh, Klay's got to be worth more. No, but net-net over a lot of games, Klay, 12 points better when they have him. It's unbelievable. And they have him tonight. Let's talk about where the game's being played. Stephen A. was talking about this the most, I think, on today's show, and I probably listened to 15 minutes, so I got a flavor, but Oracle. And listen, when a guy's on the ground like that, you gotta really appreciate that he's hearing some stuff, not only just from being on the ground, but because he's friends with a lot of these players. I think this Oracle stuff means more than a lot of people might think. Now, you know, some listeners might say, and they'd be goofy, they'd say, well, Stephen A, he's over there, whatever. Listen, Stephen A has a lot of really solid takes.
Talking about the great one, RJ Bell.
So, I mean, listen, are we going to throw that out with the bathwater? No. So, I think Oracle probably matters more than we think. And we've got some sound from Klay himself, and he's talking about Oracle and KD, which we're going to get to next.
We're not even thinking about the future. We're just thinking about enjoying this last show at Oracle. We're about to give our fans, and I expect our fans to be the loudest they've ever been, especially in the name of Kevin. And I know our fans will do that because we deserve it, but more importantly, Kevin does for what he gave this team, this organization. There wouldn't be banners if it wasn't for his presence. So,
now that was a fascinating clip. On one hand, he's telling the fans what they owe the team. Now imagine a Durant doing that. A lot of people would be upset, I think. I think it would have led Colin's show today. And this, it's everyone's like nodding. And it goes to show you is people, even fans, fanatics, even people paying for Clay to be a millionaire, he's saying, listen, we've given our heart and soul. It's, you know, now it's time for you guys to step up. And then he talked about putting on a show. So in a way, that makes me feel good that they're going to be loose. And we're trying to, you know, read the tea leaves here. But you don't say show if you're all nervous.
Agree.
And I also think if you look at, I think if you split up this factor of the Oracle Arena, the crowd factor is significant, meaning this is going to maybe be the loudest crowd we've seen this year for Golden State. And oh, by the way, Brad, if you look at the line in this game with Golden State at home, it's historic in its own way, and it's going to seem to be diametrically opposed to the fact that we think it's going to be a great home crowd.
So in the last 5 years, Golden State has played 55 home games in the playoffs. And this, at 2.5, with Golden State being favored by, is the shortest line in those 55 games, RJ.
So when you say shortest, what does that mean for everyone smallest, that's not a wise guy?
Smallest spread. So 2.5 would be the smallest spread. Golden State has been a bigger favorite in the other 55 home games than what they are tonight.
So they're getting the least amount of respect tonight, Golden State. And we think that this is going to be a rocking crowd. New producer, Daryl, he had a late night last night. He was getting cranky. Would you say cranky, Daryl?
No, I think I was pretty positive. I just don't say much.
Unless the mics are on.
Right.
Now, he had a heck of an idea here. Let's go to the ticketing agencies. Hey, we're straight out of Vegas. And they're like, we've heard of you? Of course. All right, we need disinformation. Get it to us quick, Buster. And here we are. Came from Tick Pickett. Now, if you look at the pricing, it's been surging the last couple of days. So in a weird way, Collins' lead today was, would there be a Kevin Durant hangover, an injury aftermath? I got to tell you, you listen to the way that they're praising him and you know, the players praising Durant, and you listen to the focus on the game, I get no sense from the players that there's a Durant hangover. I think they're handling it amazingly well. To me, if you got a guy that kind of didn't want to be there, now he's hurt, and you got two more games to win it without him, not that you're going to bash him, but you're not going to make such an effort to be pro KD. But by doing that, it kind of, it mutes the conversation. What are you going to say? Oh, your guys are mad at him. Well, how could we be? We just said what we said. You know, good point. Well, he did this or that. Hey, that's KD. You don't know KD. And it's over, right?
Yep.
So, Jonas, do you get any sensors? Again, I know you tend to disagree with Colin a lot. Do you get any? In this case, you disagree with Colin and you agree with Vegas that there is no KD hangover.
I don't think there's a KD hangover.
Yeah. So, Jonas is saying, Colin, crazy. Crazy talk. I wouldn't use those words personally. If you look at it, though, the crowd also seems enthused. The get in price. Get in. What does it mean? You just want to get in. Doesn't matter. Up in the corner, behind the concession stand with the French fries, it's over $1,000 just to get in.
Wow.
A dime, as we call it, Brad. The average listing price right now is over $3,000 for a ticket. And the average price overall, which included when they sold a lot of tickets before the enthusiasm swelled, highest ever for Oracle. So it seems like the crowd is saying, imagine if you're in a Silicon Valley guy, but you're not one of these billionaires. You're just, you know, you're just making $6 million a year, just six sticks a year. And you think to yourself, you know, I can go spend three dimes. No big deal. And now all of a sudden everyone's competing for these tickets. So it makes sense that the cost is way up there, but it also makes sense that this crowd's going to be rocking. I think as we make the case for Golden State, that Oracle and the last game there is probably an under-considered plus for Golden State. Everyone agree?
Agree.
Agree.
All right. I like that. Next topic, and we're making the case for Golden State, and we are straight out of Vegas. We're going to make the case for Toronto quickly. You know, this isn't necessarily for Golden State, but it's about Golden State, so it's time to do it. Because we got Clay's mom, who I do not want to negotiate with. And the question was a variation of, because you can tell by the answer, a variation of, you know, where's your head at right now regarding the decision? You know, are you guys comfortable? You know, obviously the outcome wasn't good. Who could debate that? But you're comfortable with the decision. And when she answers here, man, oh, man, let's listen.
Don't know. He felt that he was able to play, and they said that he could play, and so we still have to analyze that and see if, you know, they made the right decision. That's kind of up in the air right now.
All right, so there's a phrase said, presented without comment, okay? It's a way to say, hey, here's some facts, but I'm not saying anything about them because I'm not stupid. The idea of that analysis, I mean, I would be concerned if I was Golden State.
Yeah, I would be too. That wasn't a positive for the Warriors.
So, you know, we talked about it yesterday, and I can't lie. There were some skeptics. Now, one guy has never been skeptical of me.
We're talking about the one and only RJ Bell.
But, Brad, you were. When I said, when I said that I felt like that Durant and the way he was kind of doing his own thing was a bad sign for Golden State and them eventually, you know, reconciling. It seemed like no one agreed with me.
I came over the top and gave you the odds and said at least the market agrees with you. Do you remember that, RJ?
So you're saying that you stated a fact, and, yeah, and even with my opinion and the fact on my side, you still disagreed with me, no. And that's your selling point.
Mm. Wow.
So to me, and Jonas, you were on that boat too, yeah, if I recall. You ready to apologize?
No, because I find it hard to believe that the Golden State Warriors, as well-run of an organization as they are, would just throw him out there knowing he was going to blow an Achilles.
What? No. What I said yesterday, did you hear that? What crazy show were you listening to?
That's what I took from it.
No. What I said, well, listen, do a cut of that tape. Have it be the intro at 256 tomorrow. I want to hear it. But I will say this. What I did say yesterday was Golden State not seeming to be in on the loop made it feel like Durant was distancing himself from the team. And if what we're trying to assess is Durant's chance of coming back to Golden State, which everyone felt like went up after the injury, I didn't think so because of that distancing. And now you got the mom talking about their analysis. Sounds like they're thinking of a lawsuit. Like if you, Brad, you started smiling, but what else could the analysis be about?
Yeah.
What are you doing analysis for?
Yeah.
I mean, the supercomputer's revved up. I mean, I don't know, but it sounds like there's a lawyer involved.
Yep.
So, obviously the odds of them, I think the Durant family suing isn't great, but I would have thought it was zero before I heard that. So now, is this a distraction for Golden State? I think in a way, it's kind of reminding you. So imagine you broke up with your partner. Could be a gal, could be a guy. You could be a gal with a guy or a gal with a gal. It's all kind of combinations these days. I just did that off the cuff, John.
Yeah, it was good.
Yeah.
It's good.
I think that's a rare thing. Jonas is opening up a little bit. It takes a while with him.
Yeah.
I mean, you would not want to be that partner. Let's just say that. if history is any indication.
Yes.
but to me, if it's a situation where you guys split up or gals and then you see her do something crazy, like on YouTube or Facebook, what are you feeling?
Feeling good. That's
you're
why
feeling like that. Oh,
that whoever, right there. That's why we're not together.
So maybe Golden State's thinking, finally. The fact that we can't foresee that through their PC and very, PR-driven comments, I think is a testament to them being on their game. Belichick, everyone grumbles about him mumbling stuff. Belichick knows if you don't give the media something, they don't have anything. Now, in this case, they're not being so obvious with it, but they're always giving the sunny, Golden State's giving the sunny disposition. Oh, Durant's great. Okay, great. So now it's hard to make a controversy. Another advantage, I think, Golden State, even though it looks like a disadvantage.
Be sure to catch live editions of Straight Outta Vegas weekdays at 6 p.m. Eastern, 3 p.m. Pacific.
All right, so we're back to making the final case with Golden State. We've talked about the fact that they're healthy, you know, or at least specifically they got Klay back, which is so big. Durant, obviously not healthy right now. We also talked about the fact that it's been a four-point net move away from Golden State to favor Toronto. In five games before this sixth game, a four-point move is gigantic. It's up there as big as you're going to see. Usually that's a sign of overreaction. That's advantage Golden State, in my opinion. Last thing, this is advantage Golden State. Toronto entered this series as what type of underdog? How big?
Plus 230.
All right, so 100 wins you 230.
Yep.
Not that big at all.
No.
Like 30% chance or, you know, maybe a little less. How would the, if Toronto wins, how would this stack up when it comes to upsets in, let's say, the last, I don't know, since 1985, let's just pick a number. But yeah, let's use 85. Since 85 on, where would that rank?
Second biggest in that time frame.
So think about that, guys. We've said it again and again. The NBA seven-game series winner is the better team more often than any other sport. And the second biggest upset since 1985 in the finals would be Toronto winning here. And what's that? That's actually saying, hey, the better team
usually wins.
Another advantage for Golden State. But, you know, it's not one-sided. We should look at the other side of it.
That's right. It is the Toronto Raptors who will be trying to clinch the NBA Finals later tonight against the Golden State Warriors. Toronto up 3-2 in the series, so now we make the case for the Raptors.
Now, we already talked about the idea that there's been 18 quarters with a winner, and Toronto is 14-4?
Yeah.
Wow. So that's good. What would you say? I'm going to let you have some discretion here, Brad. Don't feel nervous. There's only 200 stations. Usually he's got a script, a teleprompter. No, heck no. What do you think is the biggest factor? If someone said, Brad, you got one factor to make your case for Toronto, what would you use?
Well, here's one trend that I thought would be a negative for Toronto, and it's actually, at least historically, last 16 years, a big positive.
I'm confused. So this is a positive.
It's a positive.
Go ahead.
And it's teams up 3-2 in a series. They're on the road game six. And my thinking was, man, you're already up 3-2. You got that security blanket being you're going to be back home for game seven. I thought the home team in game six would have success.
All right, so slow down. Let's think about that a second. So what you're saying is the assumption is if you have game seven at home, you don't fight so hard on the road in game six. But remember, what years is this from in the finals?
Since 2003.
Now, is this just the finals?
Just the finals.
Okay, so during some of those years, it would have been the 2-3-2, right?
You're right. Oh, wow.
That's why you keep me around.
I guess so.
I mean, I know you've been trying to shove me out behind
no,
the scenes.
No, not at all.
But let's say this. Your theory doesn't really change the fact that the team up 3-2, because in a way, if you say, you know, Golden State's got to win two games, Toronto's got to win one, it almost sounds like you're waving your hand, but two is double one. It's doubly hard to win two. And the math actually backs it up. Let's forget all the who won what before. One team's got to win two. One team's got to win one. In that case, Golden State 2, Toronto 1. How often does that team with the advantage now win the series?
84% of the time.
And it's how many games?
300 plus games.
Now, this is over all playoff series rounds. Seven-game series.
Yep.
84. So, again, if you like Toronto, I bet if they tell you you're going to win 84% of the time, you're going to feel pretty good. The series price right now minus 300, so we're saying less than 75% of the time based on the series price. But it makes sense that it'd be a little different because, obviously, we've got a Golden State team that's better than the typical lesser team in the series because they don't have home court. They're the lesser team. And we've seen that throughout the series, though obviously Toronto now is held in more high regard than they were at the beginning of the series.
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com. And within the iHeartRadio app, search FSR to listen live.